Hi everyone, welcome back to Logical Bible Study. In this podcast, we're all about looking at the gospel from today's Mass and having a look at the literal sense of the text. What does the text mean on the most fundamental level? What do the words mean? What was the author trying to get at? All of those are the kind of things that we try and help you understand in this podcast. Today, we're looking at a text which will be familiar to many of you Catholics, so let's jump into it. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." So let's start by thinking about the context here. We're in Luke chapter 1, about halfway through that big chapter where Luke tells us quite a lot of the background of the birth of both Jesus and John the Baptist. So what's the context? Well, just prior to this, Mary has found out that Elizabeth is pregnant, and also Mary herself has found out that she'll be pregnant, and that of course happens in the famous Annunciation scene. So if you want to hear an exegesis of the Annunciation scene, verses 26 to 38, it's read several times in the liturgical year. So December 20th every year, and then the Solemnity of the Annunciation, it's read, and then it's read on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception as well. So that's one of the most common readings in the lectionary. But now we get to verse 39 today. So Mary has found out that Elizabeth is pregnant, so she sets out to go find Elizabeth. At the time of leaving, Mary is either not yet pregnant or has just become pregnant. It's not entirely clear when Mary herself gets pregnant, but certainly Elizabeth is pregnant. That's why Mary leaves, to go visit Elizabeth in her pregnancy. And the text says she goes as quickly as she can to a town in the hill country. So the text doesn't tell us where exactly Elizabeth and Zechariah live, but there is a traditional site called Ein Karim, and that is near Jerusalem. So that would certainly fit the description that we have here. You can actually go there today to the ruins of that village and the place where they think Elizabeth may have lived. And I've actually been there. It's quite a powerful experience. So Ein Karim is near Jerusalem. And so that's helpful for Zechariah. It's probably about 5 miles from the temple. So Zechariah works at the temple. So it makes sense that he would live in Ein Karim, which is just outside of Jerusalem. But Mary does not live anywhere near Jerusalem. Mary lives in Nazareth. So for her to get to Elizabeth's house from Nazareth to Ein Karim, we're talking 90 miles. So it's a 5 or 6 day walk for Mary to go visit Elizabeth. This time, she's probably not accompanied by Joseph, as far as we know. Joseph might have been working at this time still. But she probably did have... she was in a walking caravan of some kind. It was quite common for people to travel from Galilee down to Judea. So she enters the house of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. So the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps when she hears Mary's voice. So the child in Elizabeth's womb is, of course, John. John senses the voice of Mary and leaps for joy. That fulfills what Gabriel said to Zechariah earlier. Remember, when Gabriel appears to Zechariah, one of the things he says is, "Your child, John, will be filled with the Spirit even from his mother's womb." So that was in verse 15 of chapter 1. And there's also other parallels here. All the way through this text, you'll see some Old Testament echoes, quite clear ones, actually. And this particular one, where the child leaps in Elizabeth's womb, this parallels the experience of Rebekah in Genesis 25. So Rebekah is the mother of Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis 25, the same Greek word there for leap is used to describe her children stirring in her womb. And interestingly, in Rebekah's case, the children moving in her womb represented the fact that Jacob is going to outrank Esau, even though Jacob was younger. And here, Elizabeth's experience when John moves in the womb, that is a sign that Jesus would be greater than his older cousin John, as we see later in Luke 3:16. So Interesting connections there with Rebecca. Of course, this has implications of how we should think of unborn children as well, because here we have children in the womb responding to outside stimuli in a really interesting way. And so there's some implications here about how we think about abortion and the issues around that. It says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So notice that she's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural filling. So Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she says in verse 42, remember, she's basically being inspired by the Spirit here, blessed are you among women. Now, what it actually says there in the Greek is it's a superlative. So Elizabeth says to Mary, most blessed are you among women because of the special role God has given her. And Elizabeth, empowered by the Spirit, recognizes that. Elizabeth here actually uses the same words that were spoken to the women Jael and Judith, some of the lesser known characters in the Old Testament. The women Jael and Judith are in Judges chapter 5 and then Judges chapter 13. Fascinating parallel here, because both women, Jael and Judith, they became famous amongst the Israelites because they killed the opposing enemy military commanders by giving them a mortal blow to the head. Well, Mary is going to bear a son who will crush Satan's head as well. It specifically says that in Genesis 3, verse 15. So notice all these interesting parallels here with women in the Old Testament. Clearly, Mary here is being presented by God as the fulfillment of all of the female archetypes in the Old Testament. Mary is like the perfect Israelite woman. And Elizabeth says to Mary here, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Of course, this comes through into the Hail Mary as well. When she says, blessed is the fruit of your womb, that basically means blessed is your son, Jesus. And that tells us probably that Mary is pregnant by this point. When she says blessed, she means God has blessed you. You have been blessed by God. Verse 43, why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? Now, what it literally says there, and this is a better translation actually, is why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, notice the focus here is on Mary, not Jesus. The mother of my Lord should come to me. Now, there's lots of discussion here about the word Lord that's used here, because Lord can mean two different things. In the Old Testament, Lord usually means the king, the earthly king. So Elizabeth here could mean something like, why should it be granted me that the mother of my messianic king is coming to me? And that would certainly fit. However, there is another meaning of the word Lord, and most Catholics, in fact, most Christians have taken it to be Lord as in God, because in New Testament times, the Hebrew word YHWH, often pronounced Yahweh, when that comes over into Greek in the New Testament, it gets turned into Kyrios, which is Lord. So Lord can also mean God in the New Testament. And in fact, that's how Luke uses it throughout his gospel. All of the references to the word Lord so far in chapter 1 of Luke up to this point have been about God. So it makes sense to say that Elizabeth is probably thinking of God. And she is inspired by the Holy Spirit here, remember, so she probably believes Jesus to be God, if we're understanding this correctly. This is the key text which informs the Catholic understanding that Mary is the mother of God. That is a Catholic belief. And mother of God in Greek there, the word is Theotokos. This is the first Marian dogma to be defined. Catholics have lots of different Marian teachings. This was the first one to be defined clearly in 431 AD at the Council of Ephesus. The church taught that Mary is the mother of God, and it's based largely on this text here when Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord has come to me. Now, we're going to see some really interesting links here between the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament and when that arrived in Jerusalem. So in the time of David, the Ark of the Covenant was brought up to Jerusalem and David celebrated. There's some interesting links here between that scene in 2 Samuel and the scene we have here. Let's have a look at a few fascinating parallels here. There really does seem to be a clear link here. God has set it up deliberately so that the scene we're looking at mirrors the arrival of the Ark in Jerusalem. So in 2 Samuel 6 verse 2, it says, David arose and went to a village of Judah to retrieve the Ark. Well, here, Mary arises and goes to a village of Judah. In fact, Luke interestingly uses the word Judah here rather than the more common term in the time of Luke was Judea. But here, Luke says Judah, and he might be doing that deliberately to recall the line from 2 Samuel where David goes up to Judah. So there's the first link. Second link between the scenes, in 2 Samuel 6 verse 10, it says, "The ark of the Lord entered the house." Well, here, Mary enters the house in the village of Judah. Thirdly, 2 Samuel 6 verse 15, it says, "The people of Israel shout when the ark arrived." And here, Elizabeth shouts for joy when Mary arrives. Interesting, isn't it? In fact, the word shout, which is anaphaneo, that word only occurs here in the New Testament. It's never found anywhere else in the New Testament. But that word is found in the Old Testament, anaphaneo, and it's always used in reference to liturgical procession of the ark. Interesting, isn't it? It really does seem like everything is pointing towards this being a new covenant ark, Mary. Fourth similarity, when the ark arrives to David in Jerusalem, David says, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" Here, what does Elizabeth say? "How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me?" There's clearly got to be something going on here. Next parallel, it says David danced before the ark when it arrives, 2 Samuel 6, verse 16. And here, what does John do? John leaps for joy when the ark arrives in his house. Also, this is an interesting one. The ark stays in the house for 3 months in Jerusalem. But here, what does Mary do? She stays in for 3 months in the house of Elizabeth. So clearly the parallels here, it's pretty overwhelming evidence that we're supposed to understand that Mary is being portrayed as the new covenant, the bearer of the new covenant, the new ark. So God's dwelling place, which in the old covenant was literally the Ark of the Covenant, well, now God's dwelling place is literally Mary. Verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So Elizabeth here says Mary is blessed, or happy, more literally, because Mary believed in God's promises. Unlike Zechariah, who didn't believe God's promises, if you remember. So isn't it so fascinating when you dive into the text in this way, you see all these new links. Now, there is more that happens in this scene, but that's all our lectionary covers today. So if you want to hear the next section of text, that's the Magnificat, when Mary says the Magnificat. So that's read on December 22nd every year, which may be tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Let's turn to the Catechism. And as you'd expect, there's a whole lot of places where we see comments here on this interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. So let's read a few of them out. Paragraph 523, this is about John the Baptist. "Saint John the Baptist is the Lord's immediate precursor or forerunner, sent to prepare his way. Prophet of the Most High, John surpasses all the prophets, of whom he is the last. He inaugurates the gospel already from his mother's womb, welcomes the coming of Christ." So here, or there, you hear the mention of him welcoming Jesus even in the womb, which happened in today's reading. Again, paragraph 717 is about John the Baptist. "John was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb by Christ himself, whom the Virgin Mary had just conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary's visitation to Elizabeth thus becomes a visit from God to his people." Let's go to paragraph 2676 and 2677. This is about being in communion with the Holy Mother of God. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. After the angel's greeting, we make Elizabeth's greeting our own. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth is the first in the long succession of generations who have called Mary blessed. Blessed is she who believed. Mary is blessed among women because she believed in the fulfillment of the Lord's word. Abraham, because of his faith, became a blessing for all the nations of the earth. Mary, because of her faith, became the mother of believers, through whom all nations of the earth receive him who is God's own blessing, Jesus, the fruit of thy womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God, with Elizabeth we marvel, and why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So there we have the words of the Hail Mary interwoven with things we learn from today's passage in Luke 1. Paragraph 448 is about the word Lord. "At the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Lord expresses the recognition of the divine mystery of Jesus." Paragraph 495 is about Mary's divine motherhood. "Called in the Gospels the mother of Jesus, Mary is acclaimed by Elizabeth at the prompting of the Spirit and even before the birth of her son as the mother of my Lord. In fact, the one whom she conceived as man by the Holy Spirit, who truly became her son according to the flesh, was none other than the Father's eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Hence the Church confesses that Mary is truly Mother of God, Theotokos. So here we have information about the Catholic teaching on the doctrine that Mary is the Mother of God, and it talks about it in Trinitarian terms. Because Mary is the mother of the second person of the Trinity, she is, by definition, the Mother of God. And you can have a look at the show notes to take a look at that paragraph if you want more information there. Paragraph 148 is about blessed is she who believed. Elizabeth greeted her. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. It is for this faith that all generations have called Mary blessed. So we'll leave it there for today. I hope you have learned something new about this text, and hopefully you'll tune in again tomorrow. Thank you.